Everything locked, loaded, ready to launch? Doesn't matter, because we are here, we are going anyway. 35 seconds after the hour of noon in this month of June in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. We are live. Live, I say. From the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970. Solid State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. It is Wednesday, and welcome to Day 12. Here's what we've got. Literally, there's large sections of this program still being put together as we speak. You don't even know. I know that we have a reputation, perhaps undeserved, for being ever so slightly chaotic sometimes. And for perhaps not coming to the airwaves in as fully a cooked fashion as some people might consider professional and appropriate.
Part of the charm of the show, I think.
Yeah. You know what it is? We're like in every war movie, there's the ragtag band of misfits. That's us, baby. We've got all of that. This really, we are sort of a Lee Marvin Dirty Dozen kind of radio show here. Tim is the guy who's, you know, going back to the sweetheart home in 2 days, you know, gets discharged. I'm the young hotshot who drinks hard and plays fast and loose with the rules. Sarah's the grizzled, crusty, but benign leader who keeps us all in line. Scotty J is the green new recruit that doesn't understand the ways of war and how it can be hard on a boy. Or something like that. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. My point is this, is that we come here some days and it's rather,
riveting.
Well, that isn't the word that I would use. What is this sound? We're gonna play this noise for the next 3 hours. If that isn't riveting radio, then I don't know. My point is this, kids. Some days we come here and, man, we are ready. We are locked down. Everything is sequenced and ordered and everything is put into its appropriate place, a place for everything and everything in its place. We have planned to succeed and succeed to plan.
Today is not that day.
Today is not that day. Right
we
now?
We just shuffle these newspapers into four piles and
yes,
it'll come out the way it does.
Today it's going to be a whole lot of just hitting the shuffle button and see what happens. They're like 14 guests that we're still trying to find a slot for in today's program. Here's what we got, and this is all just the stuff we know about so far. Today, coming up today, we got a Geek Watch, Teacher Watch. I've written down Geek Watch twice. Brittany Watch, Battle Watch. Our good friends Christopher Morris and Andrew Green from Nicodemus. You know Christopher Morris as the musical director for Bigger Than Jesus, which is the best damn movie you ever saw. And Andrew Green was the drummer for Emerson Starship and the musical director of that flawless group of musicians. They will be in here later today because they're part of, and I swear to God I'm not making this up, they're part of a progressive goth death metal band that's huge in Britain. And they're going to be playing here tomorrow, which is fantastic. With Stone Creep and Tallboy Shotgun and some other folks. So they'll be here in the 2 o'clock hour to talk about the Rock. And to talk about, I swear to Christ, they're big in Belgium too. And so we're gonna talk about that. It's just them and Citizen Dick. That's it. They're the two bands. With joint iron fists, they rule Belgium. They'll be here. What the hell else? We have the top five. But no one cares about that because we've got this coming up in this program. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know what time it's going to be. I don't know what hour the clock will be striking. But coming up today, we have a huge geek announcement from our friend Scott Daly at FilmFeverRadio.com. And normally, when a radio station says, we have a big announcement, it's something you don't really care about. And it's really a big overture, little show. You know, they tease it, and then you just don't care when you
finally hear. We have our contest to name your own prizes, even though it's only a microwave oven, all that. A pair of electric scissors.
Seriously, Casey Kasem was the master of the empty tees. And we're all just walking in his large, giant footprints. Casey Kasem was like, he would, for like 2.5 hours, Casey Kasem would tease you with something. Coming up later on in the countdown, we'll tell you about a man who scored a number one hit even though he was born without lips. That's all. And he would tease you for like 2.5 hours with that. And then it's like you'd get to, the answer is Kenny Rogers. Now on with the countdown. It's like, I waited 2 hours for this. 2 hours closer to death. No, but we have a huge, today is not like that though. We have a big announcement we're going to get to. Should I hint? Should I give a hint?
Give a hint.
I'm going to give a hint. It involves some in-studio guests this Friday.
You're kidding
me. No, I'm not. Thank you. I appreciate the way that you feign excitement.
How is that doable?
It involves... Just seems too good to be true, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does. You're going to be pretty damn excited when you hear it, though. And it's this Friday, we're going to be having some very special guests in the studio. I'm not going to tell you who they are. I'm going to let Scott. Scott is the man who put it together. As Tony Montana would say, who put this thing together? Me! He will be making that announcement today. Believe it or not, there's more. We're going to be talking to the guy from Pronto Pups in Otis, Oregon, which could belong to you for a low, low, low fee of $2.4 million. What else? I swear to God, it just keeps on coming. We're going to be giving away... Now, this is... I can announce this now. We're going to be giving away... This just got confirmed about half an hour ago. We're going to be giving away the chance to be in the pit crew at the Champ Car races this Friday and Saturday. Friday and Saturday, because there's 3 days of Champ Cars at PIR, Portland International Raceway. We're going to be giving away the chance to be on the pick crew.
Empty a big barrel of grease.
Tim Riley is vibrating with excitement and enthusiasm. I feel worn out just talking about all these things. Plus Lisa Goddard. Plus Ed McCarthy. Plus enemy of the state. It doesn't seem possible. And yet it is. 503-7332. Line 70. I think the sheer energy level of the show may actually kill all of us in the studio by 3 o'clock. It may just be rotting corpses here in the CBS radio halls by the time that this program is done today, kids. You want to be listening.
Better shake a leg and get underway.
Yes. Yes. Let's all do that. Let's all wear spats, too, and ride a horseless carriage. We're joined today, as are we always on all weeks that are this one. By Kristen Bowie, who's in for the vacationing Sarah Dillon. How are you?
I am fabulous.
Are you really?
Yes. I'm done with school for the summer.
Fantastic. And you're not going to broadcasting school still, are you?
No.
She quit. Did you figure out that's a waste?
No, I finally wisened up and went to PSU.
Thank you. All right. Good times. And what are you studying at PSU? Something fantastically useful, I hope?
Business.
All right. Now, here's the reason I asked that. Because yesterday I came in and you were studying what looked to be a book of Norwegian poetry.
No, it was just a Norwegian textbook.
And that's...
Unfortunately, no poetry.
And you're studying a Norwegian textbook. Why? Are you going to be doing... You're going to be running a business in...
It's the business of poetry.
I'm Norwegian.
Bjørgen. What?
I'm Norwegian. And so I was like...
You're insulting your ethnic heritage.
No, I'm German. I don't come to work in a brown shirt.
Well, they require you to take a foreign language, so...
All right. A lot of call for new people who speak fluent Norwich or whatever the hell it is?
Only a couple million people speak it.
Right. Well, I think that country deserves to be liberated next.
Right.
So make Kevin handy.
I've had it up to here with the Norwegians.
They need freedom right away.
And the Swiss. The Swiss have got it coming, too. Goddamn Swiss. Tim Riley's working on the following stories at the City Desk.
Teenagers riot at a Gresham skating rink. Matt Moran, who made a music video and sang with gusto about killing an Iraqi citizen or their family, claims he made it all up.
Okay.
And that fellow who drove off a cliff to his death was on Vancouver's most wanted list. Female Katrina aid was used for Delta Ronica, Girls Gone Wild videos, and Champagne at Hooters.
Did your face say Female Katrina?
I did, yes.
That's fantastic. Attention, porn stars. There's a new name available now. Okay, are we all ready?
We are.
All right, are we prepared?
No.
All right. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at the City Desk, have no doubts about it. Have no equivocation or prevarication. In case you wondered in any small, dark, shadowy corner of your brain, let me assure you, he is your personal savior. He's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
It's time for the Rick Emerson New News Hour. And now,
God.
From the City Desk, Tim Riley.
From high to the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. He's been captured. A suspect who somehow escaped from a police vehicle while handcuffed in Southwest this morning has been captured.
Let's tell everybody how to do it.
Well, he was apprehended in the 8100 block of Southwest 53rd. Officers used a taser to subdue the man whose name has not yet been released.
Fantastic.
He was arrested for drug possession, handcuffed, and placed in a police SUV.
Where was this at?
In Southwest.
Southwest what?
53rd.
50? I don't even know where that is.
That would be down toward the suburbs.
Is that even in Portland?
Up of Barbara Boulevard. That area.
Well, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think they arrested people in Southwest. I thought everybody in Southwest was white and happy. I thought everybody in Southwest just got up every day and they sang a little jig
about it.
Somebody
apparently was trying to ruin that.
I have a new Escalade, you know, and that's...
Did they use the brown jug?
Yes, 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 they did. I'm going to dry some tomatoes and cook some pasta. I thought everybody in Southwest was constantly happy about everything, them and the people in Northeast.
Apparently a tow truck had arrived and towed the suspect's car.
In Northwest.
Talked with the tow truck driver. The suspect escaped running west. To get out of the car, I'm not sure how he did it, said one police officer. On normal patrol cars, the doors lock automatically, and there's no way to open them from the inside.
Well, let's figure out right now. How could he have brought... It's 503-733-2970. The answer is, if you are handcuffed, this is like a locked room mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Or a Die Hard film. If you are locked in the... A police what? An SUV?
Yeah.
All right, so if you are in the back of a police SUV, not that we advocate this behavior, but it's only through... This is like how hackers break into things, just so, you know, so the security can be tighter in the future. I'm just speaking, it's purely a matter of scientific curiosity. If you are handcuffed in a police SUV, and they lock automatically?
They lock automatically,
the question is, how would you get out? Because you can't kick through that glass, can you? And take your feet right off. You can't do that.
No.
You got, it's like handcuffs, even if you got a handcuff key... Which I guess you could have. But he was still handcuffed, right?
Yes, he was.
So there you go. So the question is, how do you escape from police court? Not that we're advocating that behavior. But I'm saying simply in a matter of journalistic curiosity now.
Meanwhile, a Vancouver company's $5,000 in the red after thieves went on a spending spree with a stolen gas card. The thieves made a few visits to a Chevron station in Fourth Plain. And more than in just one car, surveillance video shows they were picking up the tab for dozens of drivers. The company says the thieves made four or five transactions in a four-minute period from anywhere from $50 to $100. Chevron helped track the fraudulent purchases down to the day and time, but still, these thieves have not yet been found.
Well, this doesn't make any sense either. So they just sat there and pumped gas for other people?
Yeah, why not?
Here's why not. Well,
they're
okay.
Charitable. I mean, it is against the law.
I was going to say, here's why not, because the police will come and arrest your ignorant
ass.
Thing, but apparently
it's
not.
Self-service.
Oh, that's right. In Vancouver, you got to get out and do it yourself and then reek of fumes all the way home. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's handy. I've pumped my own gas before.
So they did get arrested or they did not?
They did not. They're still being looked for.
They were there for like an hour pumping.
Uh-huh.
They pumped $3,000 worth of gas. Now, granted, that doesn't buy what it used to.
No. It's enough to fill up a Volvo.
How busy are you as like the clerk at a convenience store that you don't notice that $3,000 worth of gas hasn't been paid for? What could you be occupied with?
If you were a clerk working at a gas station, would you be all that alert?
No, I guess the
would
answer to that
would you care
is,
all that much?
No, I guess I would not.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you, Lee. Tim Riley.
Would
getting,
you care at all?
Getting to the bottom of the questions that matter. No, the answer is no.
Some parents in Gresham are upset, by the way. The police and the manager of Skate World Roller Rink handled a riot. Witnesses said it started with one fight Saturday night. The problem gradually spread until the entire rink was out of control.
The entire what rink?
Skating rink.
And this happened in what year?
Skate World.
Skate World.
We used to call that Puberty Palace when I was younger.
Well, I guess it still is.
That's charming.
The manager tried to shut the rink down, but most of the 200 or so youngsters refused to leave.
Are we really talking about a riot at a roller skating rink in 2006?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Police arrived. They were unable to gain control. Let me repeat that again. Police arrived, but were unable to gain control.
Was there a throwdown at Pop's Chocolate Shop, too?
Hmm. Maybe Al's hamburger joint was too busy.
Seriously.
So they called for more police.
Just a riot in downtown Riverdale today.
By the early hours of Sunday morning, 25 police cars were at the scene with the manager trying to close.
It's a skating rink.
While some of these skaters spat on police, used foul language, and tussled with officers.
Oh, you're asking for a beating. Did they get the beating they so richly deserve?
Well, I hope so.
I hope the police beat them and crippled them for life.
Well, maybe this weekend. Some parents complain that because the rink was ultimately shut down, their children had to ride the Max in the middle of the night. Why are these children out in the middle of the night? Why aren't the parents supervising these kids? Why is it the Max's problem? Or the skating rink's manager's problem, for that matter?
Seriously, and what kind of...
If it takes a village to raise a child, keep them out of my village.
Seriously. I'm all for young people gathering together and having an exciting time as their bodies go through all manner of changes. But they were skating and then... I'm unclear about the timeline of events, so let's all stop and get a hold of ourselves. Where is the skating rink?
This is in Gresham.
Kristen?
It's in downtown Gresham.
Oh, so it's a good part of Gresham. Did you spend time there?
When I was very, very young.
Is it when you? And that's like what, 12, 13, 14?
Yeah, right around.
And this is this a place where teenagers skate and grope one another? with impunity?
Well, they dedicate roses.
Do they play
to each
dirty? Do they play dirty dancing?
Do they do a snowball skate and a backward skate?
Yeah, and they do an all night skate.
So here's my question. Where was parental supervision during this all-night so-called skate party for teenagers?
That's what I'm talking about. So
usually when you're...
It's in Gresham. How many parents could there really be?
Well, how many parents could possibly care in Gresham?
Really, seriously?
Why would you be raising
Here's the thing.
About?
If you're in Gresham, and you know this is the case, if you're a kid growing up in Gresham, you've either got one parent or you've got six parents. That's it. There's no two-parent household in Gresham. You got, you know, you got no daddy or five daddies.
Or two heads and no teeth.
You know it's true. So the kids are skating... And then what is it that led to the cops coming there initially?
Well, because the police they had there could not control the out-of-control kids that were already there.
How out of control could it be? You're skating in a circle over and over and over and over again.
Gresham.
Well, they told the kids to leave. They refused to do so.
Whatever. And so then the cops came and they said, clear out, you punk kids. And the kids, by the way, I was with the kids until the spitting. Mm-hmm. You know me. I mean,
this is a little bit more than singing rock and roll high school.
Seriously, this is not the Blackboard Jungle anymore. This is not where you're dancing around a mulch shop that you don't want to be paved over by
you
old man Carruthers.
You have to understand, though, about Gresham, the biggest entertainment for teenagers there is to hang out at the transit center.
What?
And they're rabble rousers.
Yeah, good times. So the, all I'm saying is for simple self-preservation, if nothing else, the cop comes to ask you to move along. Is it that you move along?
Yes.
You spit at a cop, you lose your teeth. That's the way it goes.
They
I hope they're in traction.
They have to lose, possibly.
Seriously.
And they use foul language.
Yes. I encourage you, any police officers who need an alibi should call me. I will swear on the Holy Bible that you were at the films with me last night. You were at the movie house instead of beating a teenager with your truncheon. A beating the teenager probably deserved, by the way. Here's the thing. Really, no one likes to say this, but about half the people that are beaten senseless by the cops really need to be beaten even harder. And you know that that's true. Half the people who get beaten by cops don't deserve it at all. See, it's like the one parent, ten parents thing. You take people beaten by cops every year. Half those people shouldn't be beaten at all. Half of them should be beaten a whole lot more. There really is no adequate amount of beating. The cops never beat people the right amount. They should have me there. In Emersonia, we're not going to have these problems.
Are you going to have a roller skating rink?
No, because I'm going to be doing the beatings. That's going to be me. Me and Jim Roop. Joni DeRoshi can film it all. This is one of those days when CBS Radio is really glad they put this show on the air. Here's Tim Riley.
Should we move on to the next story?
I'm still back. Can you hand me that roller skate story? I'm just going to keep it around.
There you are.
I'm going to frame it. I'm going to put it on the wall. Do we have any... Kristen, do we have a piece of tape or something?
I doubt it.
I bet Kink has all the tape they want.
You might have to write a memo, and it's going to have to
write a purchase order. Dear Human Resources, I would like to buy a spool of tape. Please. All right. Here we go.
Let's see. I knew this would strike a nerve with the audience.
Calling from downtown Emersonia. Kyle?
Yes, Rick.
Kyle, you used to work at Skate World.
I have the honored privilege of saying I'm an ex-employee of Skate World.
Would you like to beat those kids senseless?
Yeah, did you ever beat any kids?
I wish. Some of the kids I wish I did.
Good time.
I was only like 13 or 14 when I worked there.
Now, what did you do at Skate World, Kyle?
I handed out the skates, and I picked up trash. What privileges and
so you were the rental, that you rented out those weird tan skates with the bright yellow, bright orange wheels?
Yep, the quad skates.
Is it still decorated in, like, shag orange carpeting and everything?
Of course.
It had the blue shag.
Oh, it's
blue. Yeah. Well, they're progressive in Gresham. They're stepping around.
And I worked one all night there one time.
It was just one. That was enough?
Yeah.
Did they ever close?
I think I only worked there for 2 months.
Does Skate World ever close, or is it open to the rabble 24 hours a day? Studio 54 kind of a thing?
Once a month, they'll do an all-nighter.
Yeah, boy, they must have to just bribe employees.
No,
I mean, that's either where you have to bribe the employees or you get, like, some guy, you know, he's on his work release and the state gives you, like, him as an intern or something to work there. There's not enough money in the world working all-night skate in Gresham. When you die, that's where, like, if you're a Hitler, a Genghis Khan, or whatever, that's what the Ninth Circle is. You don't go, there's no Satan, there's no guy with a pointy stick poking at you. You end up at a Skate World in Gresham at 3 in the morning,
having to
deal with some white kid with a Thug Life tattoo on his stomach, who's irritated because the skates don't fit properly. That's it. That's where you're going.
Maybe they need to have a Ritalin night.
The best part about it was the DJ. He said, "I keep the place going. That's my job."
He rocks the house.
Is that Scotty J by any reason?
No, that was Kristen. Kristen, you know, Kristen, not Kristen Bowie, but Kristen from accounting. Our good friend Kristen Akitu, she used to be a skate play at some place in Worcester.
Worcester, Massachusetts.
Yeah. Is that my pronouncing that right?
Yes, you did.
Worcester, Massachusetts.
Right.
She used to be a skate DJ there, so... All right, that's if you didn't think there was someplace below strip club DJ on the pecking order, let me clarify that right now. All right, thank you, Kyle.
Hey, thank you.
All right, there you go. Daryl, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick. When Tim was telling the story about the gas and then the credit cards and, you know, all that stuff.
Yes, sir.
Basically, when you get those credit cards, what they were doing, because I was watching the video on that last night, once they broke everything down, was you can just put those credit cards in at the gas pump itself. You don't have to go in.
Oh, just drive off.
Yeah, to the cashier. So this guy, when they were showing the video, there's like three different cars there. He's running to one tank, pumping it in there. Another tank, putting the credit card in. So that's how those people were getting their stuff. I'm sure they made some deal on the side, but that's what was going on in that video.
So it was like a 5 will get you 10 kind of a thing.
Oh, yeah. That guy was just having a good old time. I wish I'd have been there at the time. I'd have been into that.
I would have gotten on my CB radio and told them the Smokies were driving.
Tell everybody to keep going the double nickel. All right. Thank you, Daryl.
Okay, see ya.
All right, there you go. Good times.
Maybe they'll be there again tonight.
We can only hope. All right, there you go. That's American ingenuity at its finest. Isn't that basically what Winona Ryder does at the end of Reality Bites, is now she starts making all of her money? All right.
I have more crime stories.
Let's break.
Okay.
And then
we have more local crime.
Good times. All right. You smell that? Radio genius on the horizon. Best show ever. I can feel it coming. 503-733-2970 is the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up, we have more of your phone calls later on. We have the top five coming up. A huge, huge geek announcement. Geek Watch, Teacher Watch, Brittany Watch. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. You stay right there. Back into this on the Rick Emerson Show. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Here's what's coming up later on today. Top five most embarrassing songs from the 60s. We have a couple of our good friends from Nicodemus who are going to be in here. They're going to be playing at the Hawthorne Theater tomorrow with some other folks. What else? A big geek announcement. Later on today, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com is going to be joining us. We have a huge geek announcement about something that's going to be happening on this very fine radio program on Friday. We're going to be going once again to the town of Otis, Oregon. We'll be talking to the guys, the Pronto Pup. I suppose he has a name, but... God damn if I know what it is. He's the Pronto Pup guy to me. So we'll be talking to the guy who runs the Pronto Pup store. Otis. What else? That's it. We've also got the Geek Watch, all of that stuff on the way. Theoretically, here's the thing. We were supposed to have, at some point... Is there a phone ringing?
I heard that.
I heard a phone ring. It's ringing again. What? Yet none of the lines are blinking.
What in tarnation is going on here?
I don't, you know what? I'm going to put that on hold. All right. You should, why don't you pick up that phone line and see if there's somebody there? Yeah. And who is this? Oh, well, there you go. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, it says Lisa Line. Here, let me just share. Let me pull back the curtains for just a moment, kids. Let me share a little bit of inside the, break the fourth wall here. For the longest time, we had no call screening software at all. There was no way for Scotty, and he's in this sort of a hermetically sealed tank down the hall. There was no way for Scotty from his cave to communicate with me. And then we had this really crude, like, 1985 DOS-based, call screening software where he could put little notes up. But as of today, Engineer Will, who is sort of the alpha geek in the building, has hooked up. We have real call screening software. It's almost like it's a real radio station. So we have this call screening software today on which he can type me little notes as well. And here it's... But see, the problem is, I've become acclimated and habituated to not having any such thing, so I never actually look at the screen to see what's there. Apparently, for the last 5 minutes or so on the screen, it said in huge letters, Lisa is on line six. But instead, am I looking at that? No. Chris and I are staring at the phone like we're mutes, going, what's that noise? So, there you go. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent and woman about town, Lisa Goddard. How are you, Lisa?
No, I'm good. I think I got hung up on maybe two, three times there.
We're a pro operation right here. We try to do everything flawlessly.
So, well, if you do it, you do it all the way.
You guys are having a busy day because there's all of this stuff going on. In Iraq, and then there was, and I know they've got Ed McCarthy, like, locked in a storm cellar somewhere, being pelted by winds of 1,000 miles an hour or something or other.
It's a shark cage. They've got him in a shark cage.
It is a busy week to be at CNN Radio. Let's talk about the sweetest three syllables in the English language when it comes to political stories, and those syllables are Kennedy. Because today we've got, Representative Patrick Kennedy. Now, did he plead? He pled guilty or no contest? What did he plead?
Guilty.
Yeah.
Straight up guilty. Wasn't trying to skirt around that. Guilty.
Is this the first time a Kennedy's actually admitted to something?
I'm sure it's not.
I'm serious because let's go through the family history here. We have Joe Kennedy, who was probably a bootlegger but never admitted to it. Joe Kennedy, who probably was in bed, figuratively speaking, with Sam Giancana and swung the election by rigging things in West Virginia and Chicago but never admitted to it.
Now, Joe Kennedy was open about his support of Hitler, though.
Really? I don't know. That doesn't surprise me.
Pre-World War II, but yeah.
I think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he said Britain would never win.
Yeah. And you've got John F. Kennedy, who engaged in all kinds of shenanigans, both personal and political, never admitted to it. Ted Kennedy, less said there the better, never admitted to anything. Now we've got Patrick Kennedy, though, who was actually pled guilty now to driving under the influence of, it was Ambien, right?
Yeah, prescription drugs, yeah. He says it was Ambien.
And so...
There wasn't any testing done.
What... Well, because... Now, am I wrong? Am I remembrance of this? Or were there police reports that he was, and I'm quoting from memory now, that he was apparently, quote, reeking of alcohol?
No, the police reports said that he was clearly, I need to find my copy of the police report, but that he was slurring his speech, and that there was one police officer who I think said to someone else that he may have smelled alcohol.
Ah, okay.
But I don't believe that was in the report.
There were some other reports, and again, I apologize, I don't have the, as you all would say, I don't have a source on this handy, but I do believe that there was, Tim, you'll refresh my memory on this, was there not a story that Patrick Kennedy was actually spotted earlier that evening drinking?
Yes.
At a bar?
Yes.
The Boston Globe did that story. That's right.
All right.
The reporter that tracked down a bartender that said that he'd been out. But Patrick Kennedy denies that. He says that's just not true at all. And no one else has followed up on that report.
So what happens when you are an elected representative and you plead guilty to something like this? Is the penalty the same or more or less? Or do you...
Well, this is a first-time offense. So they're saying that in D.C. courts, this is what they would do for just about anybody. They made a plea deal with him. And he pleaded guilty to driving under the influence of prescription drugs. He gets 1 year probation. He's got a $350 fine. I think that's going to work out just fine for him. And he's got to do, he's got to do a little bit of community work, but let me check on that. But the main penalties are that he's got that year of probation and that $350 fine.
I do believe that this is in, someday when I establish Emersonia, which is going to be a glorious workers' paradise, I do believe that the higher up you are on the social scale, the lower down the scale socially your community service should have to be. So I think if your name is Kennedy...
That's probably true.
Yeah, you ought to be having a clean, an outhouse at a rodeo in Montana in July on Taco Day.
I think I like that. I like that.
I'm telling you. So see this someday when I establish... Oh, you haven't heard this. So there's a town in Oregon that's for sale, and I'm planning on buying it and creating my own kingdom.
Wow, that's great. How big is your kingdom going to be?
There are two people who live there now, and there's a place that sells something called a Pronto Pup, which I believe is some sort of a deep-fried corn dog-like item. So clearly there's some people I'll have to remove, and then we'll have to imprison any remaining dissidents, and then the re-beautification of it begins. But it's like 180 acres.
You know, I'm picturing now the Peter Sellers movie, The Mouse That Roared. I'm picturing you actually having this country and maybe declaring war on the U.S., hoping to get maybe some... some relief funds.
Wow. But see, now, great reference, but now I can't remember the name. Was it Micronia or something? What was the name of the country in The Mouse That Roared?
I can't remember.
It was... it's going to bug me now. Well, whatever. Hey, speaking of small countries that roared and whatnot, I caught a little bit this morning of George W. Bush. He was speaking in front of the White House because he was in Iraq yesterday, right? Now he's back?
That's right. He's back. He came back, I think, around 3 in the morning, East Coast time.
Is there any sort of a timetable for when we're going to begin pulling troops out of Iraq or stepping down or whatever they want to call it?
It's a very timely question because the Bush administration, the Pentagon, the president, they are not giving any timeline whatsoever. But yesterday, Senator Carl Levin of Michigan said he thinks that the troop withdrawal will begin by the end of the year, and he would like to see it finish by the end of next year, but that he's less sure of. But he was very confident, and he's an interesting person to listen to because he is the ranking Democrat on House Armed Services and on the House Intelligence Committee, and believe it or not, he is not running for president. So he has got he's got a lot more credibility, I think, or a lot less other motives on this issue to be coming out and saying he thinks troop withdrawals will start by the end of the year. You know, and a lot of people here, though, politically do believe it would be a boost for Republicans if they announced troop withdrawals in, say maybe the last week of October.
Yeah, I don't mean to be cynical about this,
right.
But I'm just saying I don't mean to be instinctively and reflexively doubtful of everything. But
yes, you do.
Well, I'm just saying, as you know, perhaps a layman from my outsider perspective on the workings of the world here, does it strike you as a little disingenuous that Iraq supposedly has, and I believe this is the government's own terminology now, that Iraq is a free, sovereign government, and yet, according to the White House themselves, they got 5 minutes' notice that George Bush was coming to, like, hold a big press conference in the middle of the country?
Yeah, I don't know if it's disingenuous. I mean, clearly, they are an occupied country still. I mean, they have a freestanding government that the United States works with, but this is not like other sovereign nations around the world. This is a country that really the security is being handled by another nation, not by them right now.
So we're sort of the Pinkerton crew, to their Tiffany's or whatever at the moment.
Right, I suppose that's
right. Something. Or maybe a less dumb analogy. I'll think of something that's less dumb later. All right, Lisa Goddard on the Hill. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Real quick, Duchy of Grand Fenwick.
What? Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't have called that. But yeah, apparently Grand Fenwick, the country in The Mouse That Roared.
Did somebody hand that to you?
I was just about to tell
you. A quick search on the internet.
Oh, yeah. And Kristen, you had it too?
Yeah.
Excellent. See, now it's not going to bug me. Thank you so
much. High-fiving you. Good job.
See, this is what sets CNN apart, Lisa. All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
CNN radio correspondent Lisa got it there. Fantastic. You know, she gets better every single day. Really, by the end, I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to stay at home and she can do the show. She can call me while I'm sitting on the couch. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Which brings us to the Battle Watch.
Here's your Battle Watch for whatever the hell it is, Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Show. Right here.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. Won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
Well, the president, back from a visit to Iraq, said violence will never be eliminated, but a security crackdown and new intelligence on terrorism are contributing to steady progress. Things have gotten so good that the president is able to sneak in and out with his lights off now in Iraq.
No,
anyone wishing to visit the country, be quiet.
The key is...
Travel with your lights off.
The key is just to creep
wear
by
dark
them.
Dark clothing.
I saw this morning where it's like where they were saying Iraq is a freestanding sovereign nation with their own government. They set the rules. They're in charge. They're in command. They're the chief. They're top dog. And yet they just got told literally with like 2 minutes notice that, by the way, George Bush is going to be coming and he'll need all the country's military and resources for about a day. So just be ready for that.
The president says, yes, I'd like to close Guantanamo Bay. I also recognize we're holding some people that are darn dangerous. Eventually these people will have trials.
Nothing really underscores the severity of a situation like using the superlative darn before it.
I was inspired to be able to visit the capital of a free and democratic Iraq. I walked in
where is that?
Two blocks.
Really?
It's that two-block enclosed area where nobody can live.
Free and democratic Iraq, is that... Is that in, like, through a wormhole? Do you have to go through a wormhole to get there? Mm-hmm. Or
yeah, is right. It the size of a Walmart?
Is that Iraq 2 that we're building somewhere?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, a Marine corporal seen in the video singing and grinning about killing members of an Iraqi family said the song is a joke.
It's all a gag.
It's a song I made up and there's nothing more to it. Uh-huh. It's supposed to be funny. It's based on a catchy line.
Because what's funnier than killing Iraqi civilians?
The Marine appears before a cheering audience about gunning
God
down
damn.
Members of an Iraqi family that confronted him with automatic weapons. He apologized. And said the song was not tied in any way about
it really is the side-splittingest, rib-ticklingest hit of the year. There's really no question about that.
His commanding officer says the song is inappropriate and contrary to the high standards expected of all Marines. We're supposed to kill people with class over there.
Yes, seriously. There is to be no singing while we gun down civilians. There's no punchline there. I got nothing. There's really nothing I can do to make that more ludicrous.
The Marine says, I will never perform this song again. I will remove all video like that's possible.
I see. Now it's a rare B-side. Mm-hmm. It'll be on the box set.
So that's that. That's today's
battle. There you go. There's your battle watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Americans play to win all the time. Americans love America. We have the best spirit and the best men in the world. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war.
We've got emails coming in here. Let's see. Rick, the place I worked at was called Skate Express. Oh, I'm sorry. This is a follow-up to... for the love of God. Let me read this. This is from... I'm reading these out of order now. This is from Todd.
Come on.
The corpse. Rick, I've really preferred his old sounder, but I've lost it. I have no idea where it is. And so this is a sort of a subpar replacement sounder that we use for him now. Rick, just like the listener that called in, I also worked at a skate counter at a skating rink for the summer. Three things were disturbing. One, parents would seat their small children on the counter and ask me what size they were. What the F? How in the hell should I know? You're the parent. Two, 12-year-old girls, the only market for skating rinks because they can't drive yet, would constantly dedicate songs to me to show their crush. One 12-year-old girl, we're reading an email now, dedicated the Janet Jackson song If, which includes the phrase, "If I was your lover, the things I'd do to you." This is just wrong. Three, we did not spray the insides of the skates with disinfectant when they were handed back in. FYI. And by the way, the place I worked was called Skate Express. I had to wear a Where's Waldo-esque red and white striped shirt with a name tag. with a name tag that said, Rolling Fun for Everyone. Worst summer ever. There you go. That's Todd the Corpse. Here's Tim Riley.
Speaking of that, head lice are becoming indestructible.
Jesus God.
Scientists believe
kind of
that...
What kind of a headline is that?
Scientists believe
Run
that...
Run for your lives!
80% of these critters are immune to over-the-counter lotions. They found that head lice were untroubled by chemicals found in popular bug-bustling brands.
What do you mean? Head lice are becoming indestructible. You can't read that story.
They're getting used to it. Eliminating head lice is a lucrative business. Those in Britain spend $30 million a year, I should say $30 million pounds, so that's like $60 million, to try to get rid of head lice. So far, they've been unsuccessful, so kids, I had this picture of head lice.
Oh.
Evolved.
I don't want to see that.
And that's...
And you can't kill them. They're just... Okay, yeah. There you go. And as Reese would say, and they absolutely will not stop.
No.
They're like fire ants, not to revisit the fire ant unpleasantness. From a few weeks ago. But, I was watching that whole thing on the Discovery. We're fascinated by a few things. Kristen doesn't know all these things. Kristen Bowie, who's in for Sarah Dillon this week. There's things that we are fascinated with that you're not really getting the whole Rick Emerson experience. Because you're only here for like a week. But like the longer you work on the show, the more you will hear certain recurring themes. People catching, soft and fleshy parts of their body in anything that grinds or crushes or slices. People misusing nail guns or anything that fires a staple at a high velocity.
Great stories.
See, you got to be careful when you say that, though, because then you'll get nothing but nail gun stories for like 3 hours. It's happened. Anything involving the Loch Ness Monster or other mysterious or frightening things that live in the water. And fire ants. And we did like a whole bunch of fire ant stories a couple weeks ago because I'm fascinated by them. Here's the thing about fire ants. Can't be killed in the microwave. You can microwave them for like a day and a half. Doesn't matter. They would just get out and brush themselves
Have
off and come back at you.
Army ants? They're like these huge ants in the rainforest that like eat people.
Well, that's but fire ants are a Brazilian cousin, I believe, to the army ant.
Really?
Fire ants are a more they're more aggressive, more voracious. They're better organized and they have more venom, and they're hardier, and they have only one natural enemy. The fire ant. See, look at all the stuff you learn here.
I believe I watched this film strip in elementary school.
The fire ant comes from Brazil. Deep.
What was I talking about? Fire ant. But they got one enemy. The fire ant has one enemy, which is called the forehead fly. That's it. Which is why the fire ants can't be stopped here, because there's nothing here that can destroy them. Nothing. Someday they're going to ally with the head lice, though, and then we're all doomed. Then you're going to die, and you're going to be itchy as you're dying, too. You're going to be all chafing. And
it's just a horrible way to go.
It's the worst way to go. Unless we could sort of turn them against one another and have some sort of head lice versus fire ants, some sort of cage match for the supremacy in the world of the... Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, the Oregon State Hospital workers are launching an effort to safeguard the ashes of patients who died under state care. The remains are currently stored in thousands of fragile copper cans. The ashes go back to the 1880s.
This is true. Now, I have seen, was it my wife that was telling me about this? Somebody. Where there's like a room, and it's just filled with what looks like little coffee cans. And literally, it's like the ashes of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. That it's like nobody, you know, no family, no money, no whatever. And so they just, they just burn them and earn them and put them back down on the shelf. And they just sit there forever.
Meanwhile, Maine has enlisted hairstylers in an effort to learn about domestic violence. Apparently, advocates say abused women may divulge things to their hairstylist and they should alert the authorities. Then we have this fellow who died after driving a stolen car off an 80-foot cliff Monday night. He was
fantastic.
On Vancouver's most wanted list.
See, the best thing about that is when a guy steals a car and then he drives it off a cliff and plummets to his own fiery death, it's a nice sort of closing of the circle feel to it. You know what I mean? It's just sort of the whole thing just sort of works itself out.
Sandy Lee Thwaites was wanted on drug charges, theft, fraud, and firearm possession. They also found a loaded gun inside the wreckage of his stolen car.
See? Not wanted anymore. The insurance company buys the guy a new car. He's taken off the list. We all have a story to tell. You have somebody to feel superior to and to laugh at. Really, we all win. So I would like to encourage any and all auto thieves to end your run from the law by taking your own lives in a public and grisly fashion.
Well, it's Flag Day. An American flag is growing in popularity, or so they like us to think. However, most people don't realize that wearing the stars and stripes is actually a sign of disrespect.
And illegal, I believe, technically.
These are our first batch of sound bites. Charlton School of Protocol and Etiquette owner and founder Cindy Grosso.
Sorry. Says, oh, that's wrong. Sorry.
Cindy Grosso says themed picnic wear and even stamps are in bad taste.
Filing disability claims, providing VA health care benefit information.
This sounds wrong.
Information about our State Veterans Cemetery there in Memphis, survivors' benefits.
Is that on the wrong speed? Wrong.
No, that's under the category sound bites from the South. But apparently it's the wrong one.
Well, let's see if it makes any more sense.
This is how the flag should be displayed in bad weather. There are no exceptions to the rule.
We have really run into some very good claims for veterans and survivors that may be entitled to benefits and not aware of it.
Meanwhile, a $200 bottle of champagne from Hooters and $300 worth of Girls Gone Wild videos
are among items that's happening
bought with
today.
Debit cards handed out by FEMA to help hurricane victims. There is a potential of $1 billion in potential waste and fraud.
Well, I mean, really, who needs to be cheered up more than somebody whose home has been destroyed by a flood that the government did nothing to stop?
I heard somebody used their card to get a sex change.
That's correct. Sex change and a divorce. Several divorces.
Let's see. $1,000 for divorce lawyers. $600 to a strip club. $400 for adult erotica products.
Fantastic. Well, I mean, again, it's like, your porn collection gets, washed away. What's a brother going to do? You got to be cheered up sometimes. So there you go. Does it say how much sex change isn't cheap? That seems
like a few grand at least.
Seriously,
say how much the sex change.
No, that's the thing. The kind of thing that Kaiser just wants to kick in for. So I mean, I can't. I remember my grandmother was in the hospital. They were charging like $18 for a Tylenol. So I can't even really imagine what it costs to get your junk taken out and then or rejiggered. or whatever one called. That's rejigger is not the scientific term for that. That's
it's the right term.
It's a colloquialism that we're using there. Let's plunge on ahead, shall we?
The real-life wise guy who had ordered up the slaying of a gay mob boss launching the season of Who Will Kill Vito, the Sopranos episode. This is apparently, this really happened.
Now, see, I did not know that this was inspired by a real thing. You were telling me about this this morning.
He'll spend the rest of his days in prison. Stefano Vitabile, who's 71, is sentenced to life in prison following the 1992 killing of the crime boss Johnny Boy D'Amato, who was slain after his girlfriends outed him to his mob pals. After the trial, prosecutors showed a 1991 videotape of the late mob boss John Gotti, giving D'Amato, whose mob family inspired the Sopranos, a peck on the cheek in a traditional show of wise guy friendship. Fellow was forced to leave his wife and kids in New Hampshire after two mob buddies spotted him at a gay bar. He was whacked in the cheap motel room while his mobster brother-in-law, Phil Leotardo, watched the hit he ordered.
Man, that's a creepy... Hold on, by the way. The phone is just... Let me just... Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
Yeah, I noticed Rick was talking about one of the FEMA cards being used for a sex change operation.
Oh, you want to talk to Rick? Yes, go ahead.
All right. Well, I noticed that, yes. I don't know what they call the operation when you have
tell you what, sir, hold that thought for just a moment.
Sure.
All right, there you go. I sensed that going in a non-air appropriate direction. I sensed that veering up, there you go. I didn't know Scotty was here. Let's stop now. You were talking about, what? About Phil Leotardo? No, yeah. See, we talked to Peter Carlin about this, and I was talking to Peter this morning via the electronic mail. Mm-hmm. And, I got to tell you, people talked about The Sopranos this season being kind of a disappointment, and it was not the finest of Sopranos seasons, but that episode where Vito got whacked by Phil Leotardo and his crew is one of the most disturbing things I have ever seen. Am I alone here in watching The Sopranos?
Yes.
Okay.
Kristen, I watch it.
You?
When I can.
Did you see when Vito got whacked?
Yes.
And man, it's like they have Phil Leotardo, who is hiding quite symbolically in the closet, opens the closet and comes out with a wrench, and they start... It was just like the most disturbing thing I've ever seen in my life. So unnerving. All right. Hey, Scotty, do we have Gary Baumgarten? Is that the deal next hour?
I think it's Ed McCarthy.
Yeah, but I think Ed McCarthy's been killed by... not really. He's elsewhere because of the...
He's where?
So Ed McCarthy, I'm now having a conversation that no one else can hear. But let's get Baumgarten. Is Baumgarten talking about the... What is... He's talking about a thing? This is gripping radio. We'll figure it out during the break. Let's do one more. Then we'll take a break. Here's what's coming up, kids. We got Gary Baumgarten coming up about... and then top five most embarrassing songs from the 60s. We have some of the guys from Nicodemus who are going to be in the 2 o'clock hour. Chris and Andrew are going to be and talk about their show coming up at the Hawthorne Theater tomorrow. We have a huge geek announcement with Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. We will be talking to the Pronto Pup Man in Otis, Oregon. And what else? Rick Emerson's Enemy of the People, more from the City Desk. Have we gotten to a single watch? We did the Battle Watch. That was about it.
Yeah, we did the Battle Watch.
Well, let's do something else here, and then we'll break.
A 47-year-old woman is accused of attacking a man and woman with a pooper scooper inside the couple's Milwaukee home.
Milwaukee, Oregon? That's class.
This is Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the cheese state. They were waking at 4:30 a.m. by the sound of a pet dog barking. The wife went to investigate the noise and found Lisa Reed of Milwaukee swinging a pooper scooper and a pair of scissors in her kitchen. The man ran to the kitchen after his wife screamed. He told police that Reed had threatened to kill them and started hitting them with a pooper scooper.
You'd have to hit somebody. Really, you couldn't. I mean, I guess you could kill somebody with that, but you'd have to hit somebody 5,000 or 6,000 times, mm-hmm. I think, with a pooper scooper. That's a slow death.
Yeah.
Officers arrived and were forced to use a taser on Reed to subdue her.
Here's the thing. No one forces cops to use a taser. Cops, and I know this just as a human being. At any moment as a cop, your hand is just right there. You just give me a reason. If I was a cop, the first thing I'd do would be to tase somebody. Doesn't matter.
Better than a gun.
I suppose. Probably more fun. With a gun, the excitement's over too quickly.
Yeah.
You shoot somebody with a gun, how long is that fun for? A second and a half? Two?
How about nunchucks?
Yeah, nunchucks, anything like that. Gone, they bleed out, they're dead, the game over. The taser, though, you can tase somebody 800-900 times probably before the media or your supervisor get there.
It never ceases to be entertaining.
No, it never does. It's, I mean, and especially, you know, tasers are more fun for the audience as well. So, if this is one of the reasons I am not a cop, by the way, because I would be abusing my authority almost instantly. I would just be sitting there waiting for somebody, you know.
You'd clean up this town.
You know, officer, where can I get a snow cone? You know, that's it, right there.
Attention, Otis residents, run.
Attention to the two people who live in Otis, Oregon. All right. Well, let's break, shall we?
Yes.
All right, let's take take a break here. We got more coming up. It's a Rick Emerson Show. We are live from Portland. We got a huge geek announcement coming up, as well as Gary Baumgarten from New York City and Enemy of the People. You stay there. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show.